Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For right now, we talk a little NBA because on the line is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher. Insider calls are brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 to get your first refill pack for free. Last we talked, David Fizdale still had a job. Rick, how are you?
He's still making money, though.
He is. For a while.
Don't you once just want one of those jobs where somebody says, hey, you know, you're just not good enough. But, you know, for the next 3 years, you're good.
I'm in.
Take care of you.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I'll just settle for one. Give me one of you like that. I'm good to go.
So now that David Fizdale is gone, the next question Knicks fans have, and it's a good one, when is Steve Mills gone?
Yes.
I don't know that that's actually is going to happen. I don't see that there's going to be a change up top. I know there's a lot of talk about people around Jim Dolan who are interested in Masai Ujiri. I don't know that Jim at this point shares that enthusiasm for Masai. I've been told that there was a point where these rumors came up a couple of years ago, and it wasn't the direction that Jim wanted to go.
Huh.
And so I'm not sure. Look, we know how long he stayed with Isaiah. When Jim has somebody that he believes in and they've been around for a while, and this is kind of the unique thing about Jim Dolan. If the media comes out and says, you got to get rid of this guy, Jim is the kind of guy who says, screw you. Watch me. Watch me. I'm going to make this work. This is my guy. You don't tell me what to do.
When does he plan? So, can I ask you this, Rick? When does he plan on making that work? Like, how many years will he, how many decades does it take before he figures, you know what, maybe it isn't going to work?
Yeah, it's a great question, but you know, as of right now, I have not heard anything that says that there's going to be that Jim is on board with making a making a change. And I would say that when it comes to this to moving from Fizz, he was on like there was no question that he was on board with that.
You know what, though?
This is not something you have to be talked into.
Let me say this, though. With that said, then they're doomed. They're a doomed franchise for as long as he owns the team. Because, you know, to me, Steve Mills is nothing but a yes man. That's what he wants around him. He wants yes men. And the other thing the other thing is, who wants to work for this guy? Seriously. Yep. I mean, to me, that's the biggest problem there is. And I understand he's had some good people work for him, Donnie Walsh. But at the end of the day, he wound up jumping over Donnie Walsh. Phil came here only because he threw a ton of money at him. And Phil wasn't an executive anyway. He was a coach. Who the hell wants to work for this guy?
Well, and that's the difficulty. That's the difficulty from anybody on the outside looking in is how many of these decisions – look, I don't believe that Jim has completely taken his hands off of the operations. I don't know that he is involved as much as he has been in the past. But you can't tell me that he doesn't step in at various times and say, I want this done, or you should do this.
Right,
like,
right.
Honestly, like the press conference. Or the making the firing of Fizz and not having a press release,
right.
or announcing it. That to me is those are things that are done that are kind of rash moves that I don't think that basketball people, you know, for whatever you think of Steve or Scott Perry or whatever. It's hard for me to believe that they weren't doing anything other than this is what Jim wants done.
Here's There's so many concerns, but here's one thing that would also concern me. Coming up in a couple of weeks, on December 15th, so less than a couple of weeks, a couple of days, they can trade any of their free agent signings. And one positive to come out of this season is Marcus Morris's value's got to be through the roof. Guy doesn't even miss threes other than last night. Guy's shooting like 49% from three. And I would think that there are a lot of contending teams that would be pretty damn excited about trading for Marcus Morris. Who's making that decision? If Mills is in any kind of hot water, I don't think he'd necessarily dump a good player for a future asset. I think he would go the other way. So what should the Knicks fan expect on December 15th and before the trade deadline? Are they going to be smart and try to turn these short-term deals into cool assets for the future?
Yeah, I would fully expect that. I would that on one hand has always been the plan in terms of when they didn't get any of the studs last summer.
Right.
Was let's sign veteran guys to friendly deals, deals that don't tie us up for next summer, but also guys that other teams would be looking at if they're making a playoff push, whether it's Marcus Morris, as you mentioned, Taj Gibson, even a Langston Galloway as a shooter from the perimeter. Like they've got three or four guys that they could potentially turn into a future first round pick, and they've got six over the next 4 years, and they have the cap space. So it's the plan always was that at the very least, however this season goes, let's see if we can add assets at the end of the year. And I dare say if they were like they had 5-6 more wins, they'd be thinking the same way. If somebody comes after us and offers a pick or offers a young talented player, they would be moving Marcus Morris. And I don't see them diverging from that. In fact, I think that that's actually they're probably more motivated to do it now because they need to come away from this season saying, hey, look, we got something positive out of it.
Yeah. By the way, I think you meant Wayne Ellington. Langston Galloway is a blast from the past. That's once a Nick, always a Nick.
You're right. Wayne Ellington.
I knew what you meant, at least, though, because Wayne Ellington's like the one guy on this team, outside of Morris this year, that could actually shoot, which was part of a problem with their roster construction, that they didn't get enough guys that could spread the floor and shoot the basketball. So,
but you know what? I mean, look around the league. That is a premium. You know, that's a premium value. And if you are a shooter, you're going to go places where there's either a star player or a big who draws doubles or set screens that's going to get you that. And so they weren't choosers. They were beggars when it came to guys like that.
I got to ask you this because I'm not even sure if Joe knows about this. And my feeling is you would not be happy about this. And I don't know how accurate it is, but I want to ask you. Stephen A. Smith, who at times is pretty accurate, at times he's not accurate, said that he's heard a buzz, and I'm curious if you've heard this buzz, that the Knicks would be interested in hiring Jason Kidd as head coach, which on its own is like, okay, maybe, but they'd be interested in hiring Jason Kidd as head coach, Joe, because they feel it would help them recruit Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, come on.
Which could be dumbest reason.
Haven't we heard this nonsense before? I mean, really, that's nonsense. As Fizdale was supposed to be recruiting guys, right or wrong?
Yes, you are correct. You are correct. And that's why I believe Jason would be very interested in the job. I don't get the feeling that is mutual. And I do believe that Jason has kind of put it out there or wants it out there, and which may be why Stephen A. is floating it out there. But
I see.
I would expect, like, if I had to put money on it, I would say that Mark Jackson is going to be the next New York Knicks coach beyond this season.
You really think that? Mark Jackson, huh?
I do. Somebody who comes in and has instant respect of the New York Knicks fans and knows New York, and that the New York media will be satisfied with. I really think they look at, for all that happened with Fizz, you know, one of the things that I saw was the market playing in New York and answering every question that you have to answer and dealing with a struggling team in New York, it took it out of Fizz. Fizz, to me, looked like a guy searching for answers, not just on the sideline, but in the press conferences. I mean, honestly, the first press conference that Mike Miller had, he looked more composed and sure of himself than Fizz did over the last couple of weeks. Mm. And I just believe that you have to, you know, you have to have a certain confidence in yourself, a certain belief in how you approach things. And if you don't, you're going to be eaten alive in New York. And look, there's no shortcut, especially for the design that the Knicks have. They're, for the first time, they're not trading away their picks. They understand we got to build and we got to build with young players.
Right.
We got to create something. So if you're going to do that, you still need the patience of the New York media and the fan base. And you have to have somebody who can engender that patience and with your team, to be honest with you. And I think that's where Fizz just couldn't keep that going. Mm. And so you bring in a Mark Jackson, it's, you're buying yourself enough time for those young guys to develop. And I can tell you firsthand, I was here with the Warriors. I was their sideline reporter for the first 2 years that Mark was here. He changed the culture of this team. He's never been given enough credit for building the foundation of what the Warriors became. The principles that they started with from the defensive end, the belief that, I mean, his mantra was, we're not going to be the same old Warriors. And the players picked up on that. They had a couple key vets. He infused Steph and Clay with the understanding of, this is what we have to do. This is what you guys have to do to be able to win. And that sent them on their way. Now, politically, like, you got to play the game in certain ways with ownership and the ownership's son, and Mark didn't do a good job with that.
I want to stop you right there because I'm all for Mark Jackson. All right, I wanted him before Fizdale. I wanted him years ago, to be honest with you, to be coaching his team. But why? Yeah. Now you're going into the politics of, but why has this guy not got another job since then? I mean, is it just because he's been bad-mouthed around the league? I mean, it almost feels like Jackson's been blackballed from getting another coaching job.
And he has. I mean, from everything that I know, the Warriors brass and ownership didn't do him any favors. And it's a small circle. And so for where they went and looking at other potential options, he just, you know, he was always the bridesmaid. And so I think enough time has passed, and I think opportunity presents itself. And while Jim Dolan certainly isn't, some maverick when it comes to the other owners, I believe he's enough of a maverick to say, and look, good, bad, indifferent, Dolan is a New York guy, and he sees himself as a New York guy. And I think that all the circumstances bring you to the point where, okay, Mark, let's see if we can get something done.
Rick, very interesting. It's always good talking to you, man. Thank you for popping on.
You got it, guys.
All right, Rick.
Rick Bucher on the line, courtesy of Radio.com, Sports NBA Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free. Hear Rick and on Scal and Pals, brand new NBA podcast on Radio.com and on the Radio.com app.
You going on that anytime soon?
Me?
You Scal and Pal? Maybe you're a pal.
I don't think I qualify as a pal.
No, you're not a pal for Scal?
You could search Scal, though. Interesting about Mark Jackson. That would make a lot of Knicks fans happy. I know that. And I wanted him, too. It's funny when you said you wanted him. I wanted him before the Nets hired Lionel Hollins.
Right,
then they hired Lionel Hollins. I never got Mark Jackson, so we'll see.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.